Kelly Clark joins us on Sports Byline. She is a four-time Olympian, and she's won a gold medal and two bronze medals in the half pipe. And she is considered one of the greatest female riders in history, having won every major snowboarding title, including the Olympics, U.S. Open, and the Winter X Games. And she is one of the most decorated snowboarders, male or female, of all times. You know, when you hear me say what I just said, Kelly, what is it that impresses you the most about what you've been able to do in your sport?
You never set out to accomplish those sort of accomplishments that I've done. You know, I think at this point in my career, I am thankful that I still enjoy the sport after all of the things I've been able to accomplish and all the experiences I've been able to have. The Olympics stand out in my mind for sure, but I'm just thankful to get to do what I love for a living.
You know, that's interesting you say about being able to enjoy your sport, because that's not an easy thing to do. Maybe in years 1, 2, 3, and 4, but when you become a veteran in any sport, it becomes work after a while, doesn't it, Kelly?
There are some days where it feels like work for sure. But, you know, I think that's the wonderful thing about snowboarding is that no matter what you've accomplished, you're never going to be the best. And so this is year 16 for me, and I'm still challenged, and I'm still learning new things. And I think that's what makes me able to enjoy it after all of these years.
Let me take you back to Vermont. I know at 7 years old you started snowboarding, and I spent some time in Boston as a sportscaster, and I know what the snow conditions can be like, boilerplate up in Vermont and high winds and everything. Take me back to those early days.
Growing up in Vermont really got me ready for anything. You know, it built such a good foundation in me where I'm able to go out to any sort of conditions, however icy, however windy, snowy, sleety, whatever the half pipe and whatever the weather can throw at me, I'm ready for it. It was a really great place to grow up. And now I currently live in California. I'm a bit soft when it comes to the cold and to the snow these days.
What was it like in the early part of your career, some of the things you had to adapt to and the challenges? Because, you know, you mentioned about how many years ago that was, and the sport was completely different than what it is today.
Yeah, you know, when I started snowboarding, I always say it was really before it was cool. There was no such thing as the X Games. It was not an Olympic sport yet. And so I started the first year was even allowed at my mountain. We used to not even be allowed on the hills. So it's changed dramatically. From its acceptance to even the trips that we do, you know, the run that I won the Olympics with in 2002 wouldn't even make a final today. So it's really been fun to grow and progress and to see that I've been able to kind of leave a mark on a developing sport. It's been a very fun career.
And why did snowboarding prevail? Because you're absolutely right. I remember those mountains that would not let snowboarders on because they felt the kids were out of control and they couldn't control themselves like you could if you were on skis. What was the image of snowboarding back then?
You know, I think it had an image of being kind of rebellious. And I think thanks to events like the X Games and like the Olympics that have been behind our sport for so long and showcased it and really brought it into people's living rooms all across America and all across the world, for that matter. It's really showcased our sport in a really good light, and we've become athletes and people have gotten to see what it is we do and relate to it. I think that, you know, because snowboarding was an Olympic sport, it really made it widely accepted. I think in 2002, we saw that kind of acceptance really start to take shape. And I think it's been good for the Olympics in turn as well, having snowboarding part of it, because it makes it really relatable. You know, I don't think everybody's out there on the weekends bobsledding with their family, but they are out there snowboarding.
You know, one of the things I was just going to say, Kelly, one of the things that I know being in the broadcasting business is how important television is. And I think part of changing that image and making it an acceptable sport was television. Am I correct in that observation?
Yes, very much so. It showcased our sport and showcased us as individuals. And we've gotten to be, you know, relatable athletes just like any other sport.
It also has a very young demographic where you've got people that are 14, 15, 16 years old that think it's cool. And I think anytime you can reach that type of crowd, then it's going to be something that will grow.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's been really good for the Olympics to have snowboarding part of it, because it really has hit that younger demographic and made the Olympics as a whole much more relatable.
Let me ask you a little bit about Olympic competition, because Carl Lewis, who was an outstanding United States Olympic track and field star, told me one time that really the toughest competition is running against everybody else. He said, because I know who is in this country. I've run against them, but running against somebody outside the country, you don't know what your competition is like. Was it like that for you when you got into the Olympics, not kind of knowing who you were snowboarding against?
You definitely can size yourself up against everybody in your country. You know, you see them very frequently. And so, you know, heading into my first Olympics, I knew what the local competition was like, and I didn't know how I was gonna stand up against all the other international competitors. But, you know, I think as the sport's kind of grown and changed over the years, you basically are all at the same half pipes all over the world. You know, they're kind of limited in number. So you get an idea of who's bringing what to the table. And for me, I think as an athlete, I am my own biggest competition. You know, I'm the one who I'm trying to beat. I'm not necessarily looking to my competitors to push me or to react to. You know, I'm going to go out there and go after my own goals and push the capabilities of what's possible.
You know, that's one of the things that's interesting about your sport and any individual sport. It really comes down to what you do as to whether you succeed or fail. And that's kind of a different mindset, because if you're on a team sport, you've got other people you got to rely on. Was that something that was easy for you to grasp and hold on to, or is it a change against the normal concept of team play?
You know, I think both types of sports have their advantages and disadvantages. But the really, you know, the buck really does stop with you when it's an individual sport. You're the one to blame. You're the problem, or you're the success in the same thing, you know, in the same breath. I think it's suited my personality and you know, helped me enjoy my sport, being able to dig deeper and having to depend on myself. And you know, I think as an individual athlete, you depend on yourself a lot, but I think, you know, like any sort of athletics, behind every great athlete is a team of great people. And I know my career, in my athletic career, it's really just been a product of people investing in me and believing in me. Yes, I do work hard, but I'm thankful for the people that constantly invest in me.
Kelly Clark is with us, and she is a four-time Olympian. She's won a gold medal and also two bronze medals in the half pipe. And Kelly, as you get older, you're now into your 30s. I guess most athletes, they have to adapt both their body and their abilities and everything. Where do you find that adaptation is for you today?
It's much harder than it used to be. I have to work harder on my fitness than I ever have. Realistically, I just require more rest these days. So it's about smarter training, not necessarily harder training. I have to rely on my experience, and I have to put in a lot of time in the summer months and in the off season to make sure I'm able to do what I want to do. But, you know, as long as I keep investing like I do in the summer, I'm going to continue to do this for a long time to come.
What's your measuring stick for being comfortable with your ability to be able to compete, and also to compete in a sport that really young people are coming up and they're all doing different things, and it's a different age? What's your measuring stick for that, Kelly, so that you'll decide to continue to compete?
You know, a lot of people ask me this year, in a post-Olympic year, if I was ready to retire the 16 years competing for me. And you know, I caused myself to really examine that as well. And I kind of came to the conclusion that I have something left to contribute to the sport. I think it's easy as an athlete to say, you know, what else do I want to accomplish? But for me, it's not about accomplishing things anymore. It's about contributing to the sport. And I don't think I've hit my potential yet. And so as long as I'm learning new things and progressing, that'll be my measuring stick. And, you know, when I don't have anything left to give, you know, that'll be when I step back.
Which is the most difficult to compete in, the Olympics, the U.S. Open, or the Winter X Games?
The Olympics, by far. I've competed in every sort of snowboarding event out there. And, you know, essentially, we train for 4 years for a 30-second halfpipe run. So, you know, the expectation and the hype around that event is unlike anything I've ever seen.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because when you won the gold medal, of course, you finished on top. And as you said, it's every 4 years that you compete. But then when you don't win the top spot, or maybe even a silver, is that hard to deal with because you have a couple of bronze? Or are you just happy with the way you were able to perform in a given event?
You know, every day you go out there to do your best. And you definitely go out there with the intention of finishing on that top spot. But you have to take your victories for what they're worth as well. You know, there's been instances in my Olympic career where, you know, it's not necessarily been my best snowboarding, but it's been my best performance where I've operated well under pressure. So there's much more things that you can count as successful, regardless of just the placing that you finish. So I've kind of grown up and gained a different perspective. You know, you go out to win and you take your victories where you can.
In about 20 seconds, when you think back on your long career and what you've accomplished, is there a moment that kind of sticks into Kelly Clark's mind?
I think the Olympics stick out the most. You know, winning the gold when I was 18 was a tremendous highlight. But, you know, coming back in Vancouver and getting back on the Olympic podium 8 years later and then again in Sochi 12 years later, you know, those are definitely the highlights. You know, everybody works hard, but not everybody has something to show for it. And I'm thankful to have some Olympic medals to credit my hard work.
Kelly, I want to thank you for your time, and I enjoyed watching you. I was up in Vancouver during the Olympics and watched you compete up there as well. You are welcome here anytime on Sports Byline. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Kelly Clark with us. Again, a four-time Olympian. She's won a gold medal and two bronze medals in halfpipe and is considered one of the greatest female riders in history, and she is one of the most decorated snowboarders, male or female, of all time. She was something special to watch on the hill. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.